Welcome, welcome, welcome back to BTSC Podcast, meeting you where you are. I am Chris Simon.
And I'm Jada McCray.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yes.
Unless something's changed since the last time. I don't know. I mean, I'm still Jada McCray.
You trying to tell me something happened?
Please, listen. Did you see me on the news?
So, how was your week?
It has been a good week. Yeah. Rounding out January, which felt like it lasts forever.
It did feel like it lasts forever. I just kept praying for no more snow.
Hey.
Like, I keep seeing snowflakes, and I'm just like, bro, we do not need snow.
Please, no. It's been wild weather, though.
It has. It's just been that sloppy stuff to just, enough just to annoy you.
Just enough to annoy you.
Make school late.
Yeah, no snowmageddon.
No snowmageddon. That's, we don't knock on wood about that one. So you also had a great event last week.
It was awesome.
You were with the Black Mental Health Alliance?
Yes. Yes. So the Black Mental Health Alliance, partnered with Kaiser Permanente, have this new series.
You say Kaiser Permanente?
Yes, Kaiser Permanente.
So some big dogs.
Some big dogs. They are.
And they invited little old us?
I mean, you know, people may hear a word or two about BTSD around every now and then.
There you go.
But what's really interesting is that they are doing what we do, which is meeting people where they are. So they're holding a series of talks, mental health talks, in barbershops and beauty shops, and bringing awareness to the community about what's going on in mental health and, you know, some signs and symptoms and some techniques that they can utilize themselves, and offering help and, you know, making referrals if necessary. So it's really interesting.
So what did you talk about?
So I talked about New Year, New You, but actually it was seasonal affectiveness disorder, and how a lot of times people are impacted by the new year and when the seasons change, and just how to manage those anxieties, and just some tips and techniques on managing those anxieties as well.
It probably felt good to go from being executive Jada, having to do management, and to actually get back out there and be able to apply and be, you know, be a practitioner.
Being a clinician is my first love.
Yeah.
And so I felt so energized, and it was just so funny. And one of George here, who follows me around like a stalker with a camera all the time, but I enjoy his company, he was like, oh, wow, you're really good at this. And I said, well, George, you know, it's not just a rumor. Like, this is what I've been trained to do.
Yeah. You know, it's good to be able to keep that balance of being able to, you know, be a practitioner.
You want to stay sharp.
Yeah. So that, especially from an executive perspective, make sure that you're making the right calls and being sensitive to treatment, all of that other stuff. Speaking of feeling good, today we had yoga.
Oh my gosh. Yoga has changed my life.
Yes. So we had Tanika Wiggins, one of our therapists. She came in, and she's also a licensed, a trained
yoga instructor.
And she came in and did yoga for us today. This was my first time doing yoga.
You don't say.
I look like a natural. You probably wouldn't know from the outside looking in, but this was the first time doing yoga. Some of those stretching techniques were pretty good.
Yeah, it makes your body feel so good. I told you that I started yoga the first of the year, and I've been going 4 to 5 times a week since then. And
what has it done for you?
Oh, my gracious. Besides the fact that I can touch my toes now, I mean, in addition to that, it has given me a much calmer mind. Some of the breathing techniques and the meditations that they've that I've learned in yoga, and just the way that it's just like the brain-body connection.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
See, I couldn't fully, like, just let my mind go. Like, I have an issue with that already. But the sound kept messing up, and I kept wanting to touch my phone to fix the sound. And so I couldn't fully lock in because I wanted to make it right. But then I also have a problem just like freeing my mind. Like I'll have a massage or something. I'll go somewhere and get a massage.
Yeah.
My mind would be racing the whole time. Thinking about this. And by the time I actually settled it down, she's like, okay, it's time to go.
You know,
so I need like an extra long massage. So I need the first hour just for like,
just to get it right. Him.
And then the second hour to be able to actually enjoy it. You know what I mean?
I would just advise you the next time. It takes practice, but consider yourself a passenger. And so just observe the thoughts coming in and out of your mind and let them flow in and flow. They're going to come in all the time. But just when you do, you take notice of it, and then you refer back to the breath.
No, but the passenger is not a good analogy because when I fly and I'm a passenger, it's a very vulnerable experience, like, because I'm not in control of it. See, people say that, people have rumored from time to time that I could be a control freak.
Oh, you okay. I never heard that before.
Because you know it's not true. But the thing about it, I know that I'm not, you know. But however, what I found is that in positions where you're not in control of a situation, it is a vulnerable experience.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But none of us are actually in control. We're in control of very little in the first place. When you think about it, we are, you know, subject to the weather, like we were saying before, other people and their actions, the whims, fate, whatever you believe in. So there's, once you realize that, that you are, in fact, just a passenger, I mean, there are some things you can control, but it's all usually, it's...
I like to take control over my life, my what I can control. Anything I can control, I like to do that.
Yes.
Without being a control freak. Not a micromanager, not none of that, you know?
Okay. Keep going with that one. Say it again.
You think I'm a micromanager? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. I'm just joking with you.
I'm about to say, like,
no. But no, I think it's really...
Let's, let's take a poll around here and see what people say.
Who's the micromanager? But no, I think that it's like anything else. It's one of those things where it takes practice. And, you know, not saying that you, not diagnosing you or anything, but, you know, people with ADHD really do benefit from yoga. I'm just saying.
Hold on.
People with ADHD really do benefit.
Did you from just yoga. Try to diagnose me with
no,
ADHD?
No, I would never. A licensed professional
you just said
would never
people
just.
People with ADHD do
I'm just
well
saying,
with yoga.
I'm just naming other types of people with anxiety
you
do well
I
with yoga.
You think I meet diagnostic criteria?
Hey, listen. I don't diagnose my friends.
But you think.
And I don't diagnose people I'm in.
You've seen consistencies family. Within the criteria.
Yikes. Let's just say, you know, the checklist, you meet some criteria on the checklist. That's all.
What's the minimum 5 out of. I've seen about 9. No, I
it's a chapter in the DSM-5 with your face.
No, I wouldn't slightly disagree. I've learned, I've never been formally diagnosed. Mm-hmm. However, I have learned self-coping skills to make it possible. And I do know that this office does create impulsivity issues for me. however, I am getting better. So but that's one thing that we're going to touch on. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to touch on that in March. And we're going to try to do something a little formal, have a good event about the stigma as it relates to mental health and African-American men or within the urban communities. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I never got diagnosed or fully accepted it.
No, it, but I can definitely believe it.
Yeah.
But I think that's why Kaiser and the Black Mental Health Alliance are doing these shop talks so that we can kind of take away the stigma and let people know that mental health is health. We don't mind talking about diabetes and high blood pressure. All of these are bodily processes and things that do impact your mind and your function, just like mental health. So we have to embrace
that.
So
why haven't they called me to ask me to speak?
I don't know, Chris. I don't know why they haven't called you to ask you to speak.
I told you I don't speak as well as you do, and people are starting to notice that, and I'm happy about it. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy with that. Speaking of, can we do a little plug real fast?
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we want to thank the people from listening. Our ratings are going up. Mm-hmm. We had Steve Trow. We had Mark Whitten. We know our ratings didn't go up because of them. It was because of us.
All us.
No, just kidding. But our ratings have gone up, and we're doing very well. So to anybody who is listening, we are hiring. Spread the word.
Yes, please.
Spread the word. We cannot get enough people through Indeed or whatever. We are hiring for therapists, for PRP counselors.
Yep.
We're hiring for it all.
Administrative staff, we're hiring.
Yeah, so if you are good at working with children or adults in a rehabilitation perspective, please go to www.btscservices.com. Click on the employment tab. You can do your application there. You can upload your resume there. We are actively looking. We have a great team. I think it'll be a great place for people to join and be a part of. Mm-hmm. So, www.btscservices.com, now hiring.
And you can do yoga on site as a benefit.
Yes, yes, yes. And there's tons of other benefits.
Yeah.
But Jada, more on point now today. Today is one of the beginning days of Black History Month.
Yes.
It's the shortest month of the year, first of all.
I mean.
And it's Black History Month. You think there's a coincidence with that?
Hey, listen. Just a little bit.
Listen, we're going to have a conversation. So at any point, do you feel like you need to plead the fifth as the executive director of VTNT Services? Just plead the fifth.
I will plead the fifth.
Okay.
How about this? The passenger situation. I will maintain objectivity. How about that?
Because our goal isn't to just infuse all of our thoughts. It's just to have to start the conversation. Mm-hmm. And if once we start the conversation, we can play devil's advocate to each other. You know, but we want to make sure that we are pushing these thoughts through, because we can share our thoughts all day, but it doesn't really mean much if we're not encouraging others to think and others to act or bringing these issues to light. So do you think that it's with all that being said about being unjudgmental? Now, I'm asking this subjectively, right? People say that people argue Black Lives Matter, like all lives doesn't matter. I understand why people argue Black Lives Matter, because when one race is being, you know, killed at a disproportionate rate or mistreated, you know, mm-hmm. I can understand why you need to say, hey, Black Lives Matter, we need to address this. Not that all lives don't matter, but all people aren't going through this, so let's make sure we put a focus on this. Mm-hmm. But then when we say, hey, you know, we want equal this, equal that, equal that, is it wrong for us then to say, give us a month where we could just talk all black stuff and we're talking about black history?
Well, I think that, well, first of all, it started off as a Black History Week in 1926 with Carter G. Woodson, and then it was extended to the month-long celebration. So it's always been in February, so I guess they just kind of wanted to extend the February, and it just so happens, I'm going to believe that it just so happens that to be that February is the shortest month of the year.
Or it's the second. Why can't it be the first month of the year? No, I'm just kidding.
So what I'll say is this, though. I think that, you know, you can't always wait for other people to advocate for you. So what we can do is, if you're African-American and you want the focus to be on African-American history, because it is history, it's all of our history, whether you're African-American or not, you can infuse that into your daily life. And I know that y'all say that me and my kids are a little weird, but we talk about Black history all the time. Mm-hmm. And we talk about things just as a point of reference and pride so that they have something to attach.
No, I think that you need to, you know, diaspora is a very big thing. You know, you got, mm-hmm. you need to know where you came from. Mm-hmm. You need to know who you are. You mm-hmm. need to know what people of your culture has done that mm-hmm. has led to this, so that you have a more significant purpose.
Yes.
You know, no one else argues with anybody else in their life or mm-hmm. in their culture wants to know their history yeah. and be a part of that and feel moved by it. It's only like sometimes in African American history, it's mm-hmm. like, you don't really need that. Stop complaining about that. You don't mm-hmm. need to know that or whatever. But back to the point though, is it wrong to want to have a month, or I know people want to have more, obviously, mm-hmm. but is it wrong to have a month, but then say I want equal, but you know, how it's almost like, I want to be equal, but then I want to have BET. I want to have my own television show, mm-hmm. but then I also want you to show me love on yours. When on mine, we're only going to talk black stuff.
So I think that if the...
Is that like reverse mm-hmm. prejudice or whatever?
No. Well, to you first have to understand and acknowledge, and I think we have to deal with facts, the dominant culture that we have in America and honestly globally is European culture. And so every month is actually European History Month. Or even American history is considered to be European history. So for any other group, it's considered a minority. And so you have to think about that just in context. For something to be considered a minority, there has to be a majority. And so you would think that the majority would take up a significant portion of time. If, in fact, you have a minority, which takes up less time, right? And so every month and every day, it's actually European and American, I would say white American history. And so to advocate for this little piece of it for people who made a significant impact on history and world history just in general, I mean, black people are everywhere.
Yeah,
and
be
we've
no
been here since the beginning of history.
It wouldn't be a Snicker bar without us.
What? Sometimes you come up with the red.
He made the peanut butter.
Oh, my God.
Don't they have peanut butter and Snickers?
The peanut, yes.
Yeah, right, it wouldn't right, be no Snicker right. bar.
George Washington Carver.
Yeah. I was one of the first black people I've learned about.
That is so funny. Oh, my
you
God.
Know that's, you know that's who they teach you. First person they teach
that's
you.
True, that's
him
true.
Him and then Ben Carson, but.
Yeah.
I don't. Are they still teaching Ben Carson?
Listen, Brother Ben, I did read your book though, Gifted Hands.
Nah, he's the man.
In the 90s.
You know, regardless, you gotta be able to separate people's political views.
Yeah.
Because people's political views has nothing to do with their achievement.
He's extremely talented.
He's talented. What he's done for the African American community, what he's done in his practice, is you can't dispute that, yes. you know. His political views are, we gotta separate that and still
and
talk
just,
facts.
On a personal note, I had a very, very a good girlfriend of mine, she has a twin and her niece had an issue and Ben Carson operated on her.
Oh, really?
Yes, and she is fine and she's well and she's kicking and she's smart and beautiful and all those
That's
things.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I had to read that book because my mother thought I had anger issues like Ben Carson and all that other stuff. She tried to paint this picture of similarities and everything.
Between you and Ben Carson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't achieve enough. But so I agree. It's like in Solange's new CD, her mother, Tina Knowles, mm-hmm. yeah, comes on and says, people get mad when we want to talk about Black History Month, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, yo, but that's, you have American history and mm-hmm. all that other stuff every month of the year. Mm-hmm. Like how you were saying, it's every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to have that month where it's a focus on this because throughout the rest of the year, it's not infused enough. It's not all of that other stuff. So...
I just think that we have to embrace, and when I say we, I mean that to say all people have to embrace and understand that Black history is all of our history.
Yeah.
And so there's no, you know, there's no group in the world where we can just say took credit for everything and that's the only perspective that we're going to teach. It's all of our history. But I say that to also say that we should be also interested in other cultures as well. One of my favorite subjects when I was coming out was world history, because if we would see each other as we are interconnected and always have been. So people talk about a global society now, but we've always had a global society.
That is a very good point. We really should spend time having history lessons on other people's culture, mm-hmm. as well, because I know people have made significant impacts, mm-hmm. To our community, you know, or just period to the way we live life and mm-hmm. do things.
And if you ever travel, you would realize, I mean, if you travel, you, Chris, I know you're a traveler, you realize that we really do have more in common than we do different. And yeah. It's easy to view people as those people over there if you're not immersed and you really don't know them and you don't know their history or why they have the zeitgeist and the mores that they do. The zeitgeist, the worldview.
What did you say?
Zeitgeist?
What's zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist is a German word. It means worldview.
Sounds like a cocktail.
Well,
zeitgeist. Let me get a zeitgeist on ice. Yeah, yeah. No limit. I'm good. Zeitgeist. And what was the second word?
Mores. Yeah, mores. Mores.
That sounds like something I've been called before.
It's just more like social. Mores. Mores.
Sounds like something I've been called frequently.
This is funny. He has me in here dying.
But on a serious note, right? So we're talking about Black history. We're talking about this. So my question of the day is, are we hypersensitive as a culture pertaining to race? Because everything that happens, we're like, oh, that's racism this, it's racism that, and you treat me this way because I'm Black and all this other stuff. Do we play the race card too much? Is it effective? Is it really real, you know? Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that? Well, are we hypersensitive?
I think that like any other... So we deal here with mental health.
Because here's one
thing.
We deal with
trauma.
Before I ask you that, right? Mm-hmm. Because some people say, oh, yo, you're being racist because you act like you're scared of me because of the way I look, or you think I'm just a hoodlum. Mm-hmm. Bro, if I was walking down some streets, I probably would move to the other side as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with white or Black. That has something to do with like... You know, comfortability, presentation, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if there were, what I'll say is that we work in mental health and we work with people who have been traumatized. And what we find, people with trauma, like let's just say, for instance, if we have a child who's been physically abused, if you go into their space, they'll flinch. And so I think that for particularly African Americans, there's been abuse. And the abuse began with chattel slavery, and then it moved on after that to Reconstruction, and then Jim Crow, and so all of these things. Literally, your life was hanging in the balance because you were Black, and so we are experiencing those things. And you can't just say, "Well, that's the experience of my ancestors." They've done research on epigenetics where the trauma that your ancestors experienced actually changes your DNA.
Really?
Yes, and changes your genetic response to things. So it's in you, and it's done. And I think that, you know, I was...
So you're able to pass trauma via blood?
Via your DNA. It changes your DNA.
Wow.
It changes your DNA. And so it...
So being that my head so big, does it like one of my ancestors got...
The biggest head ever is
got,
what
got
I was
whoopings
thinking.
And stuff like that?
I'm telling you, the head was huge.
Really?
I'm assuming that every woman in your bloodline has had a C-section.
That is bad. That is me. That is me. But you know what all my kids have as well? So that is actually true.
Listen.
All my kids actually have C-sections as well. So that may be a consistent pattern.
Listen, big old
head. The DNA has passed. I'm sorry, y'all, for that trauma.
We just veered far left, but no, I mean, so like I said before, it's okay. If you flinch, it's a natural feeling. And also, I think that it's also taught to other... it's taught to other people within our culture that may be of a different race as well. The mistrust and the distrust that they may have for Black people is something that's taught as well, or something that their ancestors experienced for whatever their reasons are. And so there's a natural inclination to consider us other instead of the cultural norm.
But do you think that we're hypersensitive at times? Or you think that it's justified?
I just wish it didn't always turn out to be so justified. For instance, what just happened with the guy at Old Navy where he was followed around. And
yeah, so for everybody that doesn't know, it was this guy, it was this kid. I don't know how old he was, but he was at Old Navy and he walked in with this coat. It was a blue coat.
Yes.
And I think I have the same one because I wear it in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is old, though. So he walked and nobody would have questioned me because mine's is beat up and trash.
It looked like it's been used.
Yeah. So he walked in with this coat. Was looking around, and upon about to leave, right,
mm-hmm.
they stopped him, and they asked him, "Was this? Did he buy this coat?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yeah, I bought it before."
Mm-hmm.
And then they questioned him again. They made him take it off. They looked it up, and it came to find out that it was previously purchased. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they didn't offer him an apology or anything mm-hmm. else like that. Mm-hmm. So go ahead with your story. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine that experience. And I think about the fact that he patronized this store or someone else patronized the store on his behalf because he said it was a gift. And then to be accused, walk through the door with your coat on that's yours now, and then be accused of stealing it. If that had been me, I probably would have thrown it down, stomped it, and said it.
So
never wanted to wear it again.
That is completely wrong
mm-hmm.
for multiple reasons. You should have went to Gap.
Oh, my God.
Forget Old Navy.
They're the same people, though. You know?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
But forget Old Navy.
You're saying they have more respect than the Gap respect. For cultural
yeah,
diversity?
Yeah, the Gap, it's in the mall. Old Navy is in the parking lot by itself. That already lets you know it's a better environment, you know?
You're a mess.
No, but I'm just kidding. But, no, that is horrible. So that is not, that's why we are hypersensitive.
And it's not
times.
Isolated. There was also a woman who, I think she purchased, it was either Gucci or Louis Vuitton. I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure. But it was the same situation where they accused her of stealing. This was an item that she purchased. It was a purse. And they accused her of stealing her own merchandise. This is my own item. And they accused, so if it weren't something, if it was not something that happened so frequently, and now in the age of social media, it's not just, you don't have to feel like you're just, you know, like it's a boogie monster or something that could or could not be and have to question it. We actually have video footage of these things occurring when they
do. Can you imagine what happened before there was video footage?
I know.
There was
God
so
that
many allegations and mm-hmm. probably so much more harsh mistreatment before mm-hmm. social media mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are hypersensitive.
But then you look now, because even now when we have video footage of things, and
things
then people will
happen.
Tell you, it's almost like, have you ever read that book, 1984, the Orwell book, Jane? It's 1984 where his big brother and his big brother's watching, and they would change history as it was happening. And so
now, Jada,
they would say,
You know, I just bought 13 books for the first time.
Did you read
on January 1st. I'm almost through one chapter of 13 books. And you know, before that, I was audiobook, so no, I didn't read those books.
So the whole premise is that it's a Big Brother is the state, and the state will tell you who we're at war at. And when they decide to change it, they'll say, we've never been at war with those people. We're at war with these people now. We've never been at war. So they're telling you what you know to be true is not actually true. I know. And the same thing happens with us. We see the videos, and then we're still told, well, that's not actually what happened. But we
I
see
remember
it.
Something like that with crowd sizes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What I thought I saw.
They were huge.
They said it was huge. It was huge, but I saw a lot of holes in it.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest crowd ever.
So, one thing, imagine going to Sephora and they say you stole the Fenty Beauty because nobody has that much and wear it as gracefully as you do.
Not today, Lord. I knew we were having yoga today, so I didn't paint my whole face.
We're going to need you to take this Fenty off. We believe you stole that.
Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, my goodness. As much money as I spend in Sephora?
Better look up my account.
Right. See all of them beauty points? Don't
so then you
me.
Get other situations like the H&M situation. Mm-hmm. This is, like, people argue, are we hypersensitive? But when you do stuff like this, it perpetuates it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. It could be, do you think that H&M thing was just bad management? Or do you think it was, like, they knew exactly what they were doing?
So what I'll
because
say,
it said the mm-hmm. coolest monkey in the jungle mm-hmm. and had a dark skin, not just a light skin or anybody, a dark skin young boy mm-hmm. with it on. You could have picked any other shirt in the whole store.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the one that you decide to give this brother to wear?
They are saying that H&M is a Swedish-based company, is a company in Sweden, and so they don't have a great deal of African representation in Sweden. And so what they're saying is that they don't have the same history, and they don't understand the implications. It's like if some countries you go to where the thumbs up means actually the middle finger.
Where is that?
It happens. Like it's where? True. I don't know. I had to Google it.
I've never heard.
Yes. Or the
maybe
okay
that's why
symbol.
Trump gives a thumbs up so much. Then
he's really giving people the middle finger. So I'm not saying. So I will say this because I am African American and I know the history of African Americans and I know the implications of the monkey. And First of all, I want to say that I wholeheartedly reject any implication or insinuation that African American people resemble monkeys in the least. I refuse. I will not accept it.
Did you watch Planet of the Apes with what's his name?
What?
What's the monkey's name? The big monkey.
War of the Planet of the Apes. And
yeah, what was his name? Oscar?
No. Caesar.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yeah.
He was, if I could get his body type, I'd let him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was a strong fella, yo. Got me over here looking all out of shape and everything, and that's a monkey.
I'm going to tell you to aim higher than Caesar.
Develop some other goals?
Yeah.
I got to start. Hey, I'm trying to meet myself where I am.
Oh, my God.
Listen. I can't just hop up and be Idris, you know what I mean? I gotta start somewhere.
Who Idris? But so they're
speaking
saying,
of Black History
right,
Month.
Speaking of Black History, I like to reflect the date of 2004 when he made his debut in Stringer Bell. That was Black History at its finest. But no, so what I'm saying is that you know they're saying that they didn't have
just little known Black History.
Little known Black History fact. Russell Stringer Bell. Anyway, but so they're saying that they didn't have they didn't understand the context. Yeah, so they're pleading ignorance to that. But
I gotta put a pin in this idea that I had because it was this. What was it? I was listening to the Tom Joyner Morning Show, right? Mm-hmm. And Huggy Lowdown.
Yes.
He was doing a little-known Black History Fact.
Uh-huh.
And the little-known Black History Fact was one of the greatest creations to social nightlife ever. It was invented by a Black man named Pernell.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Here we go. What?
And it was like, Pernell, he didn't have much rhythm or anything else like that, but Pernell was always the first one on the dance floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this one day in 19... I forgot what year they said... Mm-hmm. It was December because it was a house party, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walked in and the music was on. Pernell was on the dance floor, got the party started, waiting for everybody to get up. And then this thing happened that changed Black history forever.
What was this thing, Chris?
Somebody was lost and they was like, where I go? And then Pernell was like, party over here. Party over here. And that day changed Black history parties forever.
I can't.
The party over here.
I don't even know how we got here. I can't.
It's a little known Black history fact that I heard the other day. Pernell in 1974 came up with the party over here. Ooh, ooh.
I can't.
And that's how that party's nightlife thing began.
You and Huggy Lowdown are nuts.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But I'm sorry. But to me, I don't care if you're a Swedish company or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling your clothes and your product in whatever region or wherever, you're supposed to do some type of market analysis.
Know your demographic.
And know what's offensive and what's not.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure somebody in Sweden has heard a monkey related to Black convo or words before, you know?
Yes.
So I cannot give that an excuse.
I highly doubt it's true.
I cannot give the mother excuse for allowing the child to wear it.
I am very upset that even happened.
And she responded back as saying, yada, yada, yada. Listen, I understand bills got to get paid. You know, and the shot isn't a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
However, at some point, we do have to stand up and say, no, this is just not acceptable.
All money's not good money.
All money is not. Well, you say that, but I can't speak for what that mother's going through. This might have been what she needed to not get evicted or whatever the missed situation may be. Or it might just be extra savings for his college fund. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for her. Only thing I can say is that I wouldn't do that.
I understand.
I would have to make some other
accommodations.
Yeah, I just can't like have my son just wearing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That we all know is offensive.
If you've ever been on a set, a modeling set at all, and you see child models parents are right there.
Yes.
Parents are there. So it's very rare.
You better go out there and be your best monkey.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, hey, you don't know if that's a conversation that they had or not.
Do they know how much they got paid, though?
I don't know.
Because I think somebody was like $500,000, something like that.
People do things worse. I mean, not worse things, but people make other choices for a lot less.
If it was $500,000, I might be out there scratching my underarms. And hopping through the photo shoot.
I'm just joking.
$500,000? No. I might consider it.
You might consider it.
I might consider it. I'm just kidding. But anyway, when we're talking about people need to stand up, like the mother, like we need to make a stance for ourselves and say, hey, this just isn't right. Mm-hmm. Now you get somebody like Monique, mm-hmm, who stands up and say this isn't right. Mm-hmm. So Monique's argument, are you aware with it, what her argument is?
Chris. How could I not be?
Okay.
At this point.
So her argument is that Netflix offered her $500,000. That's mm-hmm. where the $500,000 came from, I guess. Mm-hmm. So Netflix offered her $500,000, but offered Amy Schumer uh-huh. like $11 million or something like that. Something crazy. And she's now saying, hey, guys, I need you to stand with me against Netflix because there's racial. For one, she said there's sexual bias. Mm-hmm. Then she said that there's
racial bias.
And we should stand with her united against Netflix. This is, to me, Jada, mm-hmm. I understand H&M one. I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I understand the Old Navy one. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. I understand the Colin Kaepernick one. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I think this is a stretch, in my opinion.
I will say this. I think it is great. They say this is the year of the woman, and it is great for women to know your worth. But you also have to be aware of your worth and what it actually is.
So, during the same Tom Joyner morning show that I was listening to, she came on there, right?
Mm-hmm. And she said, brothers, sisters,
yeah, exactly,
stand
exactly.
with me.
Exactly. Tom, come here, Tom. So, Tom, tell me how. So, they were talking to her, and she was saying, if you look at our movie sales, the last movie I put out was, not this Christmas, but one of those Christmas movies.
Almost Christmas.
Almost
yes.
Christmas. Uh-huh. So she couldn't even make a Christmas movie. It was almost Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But so it was almost Christmas, and then and they had a low budget, and they basically doubled. I think their budget was like $12,000. They did $25,000. Mm-hmm. I mean $25 million.
Yeah.
Not their budget wasn't $12,000. Budget was $12 million, and then they did $25 million. Mm-hmm. And then Amy Schumer, she had a budget, and they only grossed $3 million more than mm-hmm. what her budget was. Mm-hmm. So she's saying that she's driving up the sales more. And mm-hmm. so Netflix, it can't be about what you've done recently or how driven your sales are. Mm-hmm. To me, Jada, I'm like, there's a complete movie set. There's a script. There's marketing. Monique, you weren't the only funny person in that movie. Mm-hmm. You had a whole cast full of people.
Yes.
I'm not going to call it star-studded.
Danny Glover was in that movie, yeah, for goodness sake.
It was like B-list star-studded. Mm-hmm. And that's not shade.
No,
you know,
it was 1990
I'm probably like
Z-list,
so it doesn't matter. You know, that's yeah. not shade towards them. Mm-hmm. But it's B-list star-studded. Mm-hmm. I don't know this movie. I didn't see the other movie with Amy Schumer in it yeah. or whatever. So you can't compare apples to apples mm-hmm. because they're not paying for
apples
this whole
oranges.
Movie.
Yeah.
This, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my thing is that Monique, they offered her that. They offered her what she felt, what they felt she mm-hmm. was worth. First of all, you can't play a race card mm-hmm. because they paid Dave Chappelle.
And Chris Rock.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we can't play the race card. Mm-hmm. So then now if you want to play the race woman card, mm-hmm. they offered her what she was worth, what they felt like she was worth.
What they felt like she
and
was
any
worth.
Business, you do a marketing analysis to figure out if this is this product, how much can this product mm-hmm. sell for? You review who the target consumer is and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they felt like, from my understanding, or what from a being a businessman, mm-hmm. you would think that Amy Schumer's reach is a lot bigger than Monique's.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Monique, she held that she's the most awarded female mm-hmm. comedian. Cool. However, they may feel like she's not going to bring out a certain demographic of people that Amy Schumer will. Mm-hmm. And Amy Schumer can still bring out the demographic in which Monique can. So you offer her $11 million, which you're worth. And then you offered Monique $500,000. And my thing about this, if you don't like it, Monique, mm-hmm. cool. Netflix isn't the only place that's giving out movie deals.
Yeah.
So why you want everybody to go boycott it? Because you felt like they didn't give you what you were worth.
So I got to say,
why not go to Showtime? Why not go to BET? Why not go to OWN Network? Why not go to all of these other things?
They didn't offer.
You're putting all of your work into, you're putting your whole thing into, because Netflix didn't do this. You know what I mean?
Yes. I completely agree. And I understand that there's a big pay disparity and a lack of opportunities for particularly African-American women in the entertainment industry. We all understand that and acknowledge it. And there are so many women fighting for equality right now. So the Me Too and the Time's Up movement, they're addressing those things because it is obvious that this is happening. However, like I said before, you have to know your worth. And sometimes if a person, you know, if you counter and a person's not on the same page as you, you have to be willing to just walk away.
Yes.
You know, you don't appreciate my worth, someone else will.
Yes. If
or I need to take a realistic view of what I'm actually exactly. what my product actually is.
Have you ever gone to an employee and said, I'm worth this amount. You're not gonna pay me this amount. Everybody don't work here, not because they're not a good company, just because they're not paying me what I'm worth.
They're not paying me what I'm worth. Yep.
So we're not supposed to go get a job here or patronize this because they're not paying you what you feel like you're worth.
And also,
how can we support you when we might not even feel like you're worth it as well?
And think about all of the other African American shows and movies and features that are on Netflix. Like sometimes there's so many, it's been such
a
platform.
They have a Snoop Dogg's coaching show that just came on today. I watched it while I was on a treadmill.
They have you ever watched that show Chewing Gum on Netflix?
No.
It's an African lead also. She's from Britain, but she's hilarious. But there are so many other shows on Netflix, you know, that are featured around African-American people and give a platform. Dear White People, that's on Netflix. I mean, there's so many. Luke Cage is on Netflix. So there are so many other shows for African-Americans.
I watched the one from the guy that's on Saturday Night Live. He has a stand-up.
Okay.
The guy that does, the black guy that does the
impressions.
The
Jay Farrow.
Report.
Oh, no, Michael Shea.
Michael Shea.
Yeah, he's
so he has one on there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this is a black thing, you know? In my opinion, it's not that it's a black thing. People just, they offer you a deal that they thought you was worth. And if you wanted, hey, you know what? I'll take this $500,000. When you see, the way I might approach it, when you see now what I do with this show and see what the numbers do, when I come back to re-up for a second one, you're now going to pay me way more than what you thought, than what you initially, what I thought I was worth.
Listen, no one understands your worth better than you do. But Chris, you also know that I live by a firm belief. I can show you better than I can tell you. So you can doubt me. Actually, I kind of, you know me, I'm a competitor. So I appreciate it and I love it. Like, oh yeah, I want you to underestimate me and then I'm going to.
But then this is also the issue with this. It's like, I'm not mad that Monique felt some type of way or that she wanted to voice up. You have to do it in a politically, not politically correct way, but a respectful, classy way.
But you, and you
so
also
that yo,
have
you
be...
don't offend others. Not that you, it's not saying, hey, you got to walk on eggshells so that yo, you still. But it's like, hey, there's a way that you go about voicing your concerns. You know what I mean? So that people still feel comfortable working with you. Not saying, hey, you can't say what you want to say. You gotta dance to the drum of whoever, you know. But there's a way that you need to negotiate, the way that you need to handle yourself. Because here's the thing, being told. There's other black people that don't want to work with her either.
That's what I was about to say. You have to be mindful of, I think she really kind of overshot her relationship. She really doesn't understand her relationship with her own community, with the black community. Because black people, as you can see, we, you know, many of us, we kneel with Cap. You know what I mean? We stand with him and we understand that. And it's just, it's been so many instances where black people have supported other black people. But you... But with us, we're not a monolithic. So we're not just all one thing. You know, I think a lot of sometimes if you hear people talking about things politically, oh, the black vote. Or, you know, they just assume that we are all into one thing. Like, there, you know, there isn't, like, different black people and different black people have minds and thoughts and feelings and worship differently or whatever. And so just because you're black doesn't mean that all black people will get behind you.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a bad reputation amongst other black people.
Yeah.
Like, look at Omarosa. If Omarosa ran for president in 2020, how many black people do you think would vote for her?
Zip zero, stingy with.
But the same thing about Ben Carson. We can acknowledge that he was a brilliant neurosurgeon. Is he invited to the cookout? Not in my house.
No, he might bring, he gonna bring that potato salad you don't
want
to eat.
I don't want, no, his potato salad don't have mustard in it. No. You
know? Just like you go to my house, I don't have, what I don't have?
What?
I don't have hot sauce.
You ain't have hot sauce. I was a little disappointed.
What do I have?
What did you had, shucks, that other stuff, that, sriracha.
Sriracha.
I was like, Chris, I cannot sriracha, put sriracha else. On my chicken. I'm sorry.
But anyway, right, so I just think that she's, like you said, she played her hand a little too far.
She shot a shot.
She tried. Good try. You know what I mean? But I think that, one, we do have to know our worth, and we cannot keep screaming. The more you scream race, 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 you're really watering it down for real issues that we need to focus on. You
know
what I mean?
So here's the thing. There's no one, especially in America, there is no one in America that does not know that we have a race issue. But what we can, in a race, an issue with racial discrimination. So you have some people who choose to, who refuse to acknowledge it. But you already know what's up. So that's like me saying, oh, Chris, it's not raining outside today. Don't pack an umbrella. And you see the raindrops falling and you choose to, and you don't choose to prepare. Do you understand what I'm saying? You already know what's up. So like, just proceed with caution. You know what's going on. And the times when we do, you do need to stand up for yourself. You carry yourself with dignity and respect, and you do so.
Yeah. So I think that was good.
I think it was good too. Good discussion.
So, the transition to the on a sofa part, I mean, and this is very consistent with the rest of the conversation we was having. I watched Jay-Z on Van Jones. Did you see that?
Yes.
And Van Jones asked him about if he was Colin Kaepernick's agent, because Jay-Z has a Rock Nation sports management. Mm-hmm. And he said, would he have, if Colin Kaepernick came to him and said, hey, I'm thinking about kneeling, doing this, would he have told him it was a good thing to do? And Jay-Z said, yeah, you know, like, mm-hmm. There are millions of football players, mm-hmm. but when you can be mentioning the name of Cassius Clay, mm-hmm. and all of these other people, you know, mm-hmm. that's different. You now become a figure that's mm-hmm. going down in the 28 days.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know? Mm-hmm. So with that being, I know Colin is dealing with some trauma right mm-hmm. now. He hasn't been able to play in the league. He's been scrutinized, criticized. He's getting supported by others. Mm-hmm. How would you advise him at this point, you know, when he starts to, because do you think that he's questioned his thoughts since then?
What human being wouldn't?
You go from making millions mm-hmm. to now nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he makes or whatever.
I hope he's investing wisely. He should talk to Rick Ross about all those Wingstops and put in on that.
So, what would you advise someone going through like that, that wants to make a difficult decision, mm-hmm. like Colin Kaepernick, who wants to stand up for something, who wants to, even if it's somebody that is, you know, just want to come out about something or just do something, you know, mm-hmm. but they don't know what the backlash would be. They don't know about this stuff. A lot of people, they may feel something, but mm-hmm. they ain't going to say it because they don't want to be the first person to come out mm-hmm. and say it. How do you advise people of stuff like that?
Well, it's important what we referenced earlier about knowing your history. And so, like you said with Muhammad Ali, people have to remember that when he decided to be Cassius Clay, he decided to not participate in the war and all of those things and took a stand politically and went on television and said these things that were extremely not just unpopular at the time, but things that could have gotten him killed. And so he took that stance, and now he's regarded as a hero. Also, Martin Luther King, the same thing. He was public enemy number one, but now he's regarded as a hero. Malcolm X is the same thing over and over again in history. And again, understanding world history, Mahatma Gandhi and what he did in India, he was also, it was the same thing there, and he's regarded as a hero now. So sometimes your present may not be kind to you, but you have to think about this. We always have to be mindful that we are a blip in history. And so even now, people who may not be people of note, just taking a stand in your everyday life, you don't know what that ripple effect will be. And so knowing that history and knowing that what you're doing has a positive impact later, and you're standing up for other people who don't yet have a voice, people who may not even have been born yet, you're standing up for them. So in his case, he was kneeling, because think about it right now. There's somebody, some little black child that's being born in 2018 who may never know who Colin Kaepernick was, but there'll be a time when he'll be pulled over by the police. And let us pray that because of what Colin Kaepernick has brought awareness to and what we've become aware of, this little boy may not be shot. He may be able to go home to his family. So it's not always just about you and your present. And I think that if we think of ourselves as bigger than just the lives that we live and the impact that we have, no matter who we are, we make a big impact on the rest of the world. And the choices that you make daily are not always just about you. And well, get off of social media, Colin, because it's unkind. Don't read the comment section.
Well, I was about to say, I would say something, but I have no idea what I can say after that. I'm sitting here like, man, you know what? What can I stand up for? Yeah.
Well, Chris, actually, you did, and we did. And when you think about the mental health agency and the clinic and stuff, both of us could have gone on and had careers and maybe had an impact in a different way. But we decided to step out on faith and do this and do this and make sure that we spread our message and make sure that we set up services for people to get help. So every person that comes through the doors of BTST, every person that gets healed, think about the generations that come behind them. We always said we have one depressed mother. You're not just changing her life if you get her the interventions that she needs, but you're changing the lives of all of her children and all of their children. So just by us being able to provide these services that we provide, we have a ripple effect on history that we may not know.
Well, thank you, Jada. You made me
That's
feel
why we
like
gotta get up in
you
the
made
morning.
Me feel like I'm a part of Black History
you
Month
are.
Now. Jeez.
You are.
Okay.
Are. Because once again, Black
Sometimes
History
you need your
is
ego.
World
you
history.
You gotta remind them, huh? Thank you. I appreciate that.
Show them
that.
Better than you can tell them.
I appreciate that. No, but no, you. When you now that I'm actually thinking about that, you're mm-hmm. right. Like what we attempted to do with BTSC is like to create an environment that staff feel valued. You mm-hmm. know mm-hmm. that this is a place because if we're gonna speak honestly. As black owned agencies and mm-hmm. stuff like that, people they look down about these things. They already yeah. coming into it thinking that it's going to be janky, yes. using your word, second mm-hmm. rate and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that this place was right for our staff, mm-hmm. first of all, to change the paradigm and change mm-hmm. the way staff are treated, mm-hmm. to make that this is an organization about the staff. And we created these different amenities and mm-hmm. the way opportunities and activities and the way we approach, you know, mm-hmm. just whatever with a staff-based model.
Approaching it with excellence.
Yes, that's different. Mm-hmm. And that's going to translate into the way our staff provide services to our clients. And then when our clients come on site, mm-hmm. making sure that we designed the place, furnished it well, and mm-hmm. provided all the top-notch amenities
yep.
for them to feel comfortable and to break stigmas as it relates mm-hmm. to therapy. Yep. So, wow, you made me just feel good about myself.
Well, every day we have purpose, right?
Well, thank you. I'm going to have to listen to this podcast when I get down.
Get inspired.
Fast forward past all that other stuff to the part about Chris. There we go. Press play. Now I'm just
What in the world?
I'm just playing. Well, I think this was a good podcast.
I think so, too.
I think we should, you know, maybe we should do some more stuff like this for the month of February. Mm-hmm. Maybe give out a little known Black history. You want me to do more little known Black history
oh
facts?
Oh, my gosh.
You want more Pernells?
More Pernells. I want to know who.
I'm going to bring Pernell out for the BTSC
the roof
gala.
Is on fire.
The roof. I'm going to pull it up. We don't need no water. Let that mother burn. It might have been something.
No, this is a really good one. Who,
which one?
Who is that? Who came up with the electric slide? That changed the game for parties and weddings for like.
That has. That is like the go-to dance. And that's like the only dance I can do because I lack rhythm. I have a sober rhythm dysfunction. So yeah, that's the dance I can do. When you start gonna do the two hop this time, it's too many words. I'm trying to think what he's saying when he's saying two hops, and so I'm like trying to hop, and then now he's already on to something else. Like I think I have processing issues that allow me not to.
The fact that you can't do a dance that gives instructions.
Hey, I can do the I can do the shoulder lean, the two step, the Dougie.
You'd be killing it from your seat, huh?
I can, bro. I am top five dead alive, the best seat dancer. Like, yo, if you ride in the car with me, like, you feel like you're at a Bruno Mars concert.
I've seen you.
Like, I'll be moving like, boom, boom, boom. Give you the shoulders and everything. Where it doesn't require me to use my feet, I'm good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what? I might be dancing at the gala from my seat.
Little known Black history fact. All Black people do not have rhythm.
Another Black History flat. BTST is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. Yes. We're going to have an ultimate gala. It's going down in a major way. The weekend of June 8th, 9th, that whole week, we're going to have a whole bunch of activities. Mm-hmm. We'll have a black tie gala on June 9th, undisclosed location. But I promise you, we're going to do it super big. Because don't nobody party like a BTST party.
Whew. Say it again.
There's no party like a BTST party. Speaking of, we got to get out of here. We need to go back. We got to celebrate somebody's birthday in
yes.
the lounge.
Yes.
So we're going to end our Friday here. Anything else you want to say?
No. Have a happy weekend, everybody.
Remember, while you out this weekend and you're in the club or you're celebrating a Super Bowl party, if you happen to hear somebody break into your party over here, remember where you heard it second. All right. We out. Don't you let me